We've all faced losses in our lives, but our first guest today seems to have had far more than her fair share. From the amputation of her leg as a cure for bone cancer at a very young age to losing two of her children. But you know what? She never gave up. She's a real inspiration, and she's put her story into a book called How to Lose Everything. She's here with us today. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me now, Krista?
I hear you just fine.
Yay! You could hear me anyway, couldn't you? But I couldn't hear you.
God, technology.
Oh, tell me about it. Right, let's try and start again, though. You are a real inspiration. And if it's okay with you, because I know it's in the book, we'll start from the beginning. So what age were you diagnosed with bone cancer?
I was 11 when I was first diagnosed with cancer.
That is very young. Must have been very tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I know now as an adult, I think, right, 11, that's a kid. I meet 11-year-olds and they're so small. But at the time, you know, it's all I knew, you know, and I had lots of friends with cancer. In a way, it was sort of normalized. But of course, I know now that it was a really big deal.
So I know that a few years later, you were 13 when you had your left leg amputated above the knee. So did none of the treatment, did you have the usual chemotherapy, et cetera, and didn't it work?
No, it did at first. So yeah, I had chemotherapy, I had radiation, I went into remission. I had about, I think, 7 or 8 months where it seemed like things were going to be okay. And then it was the summer holidays and I was, you know, camping with my dad and I was having these stabbing pains through my leg and we knew that it was back. And so then at that point, the amputation was the cure for cancer. I mean, it was a loss, and I dedicate a chapter to losing my leg because it was this huge transformation. At the same time, I was so lucky. I was so lucky that there was a cure for my cancer.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. It's definitely more of a positive way of looking at things. But I understand what you're saying about a loss because you're grieving for something, aren't you? Something's been taken away from you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it took me a long time to figure out what that loss was. I think I still grieve it sometimes. It was 30 years ago, but you know, I was 13 when I lost my leg. It's already this, you know, wild time of adolescence and becoming aware of your body, and I suddenly had this completely new body and I had to learn how to walk again. But it wasn't really until my 20s that I think it started to hit me, like, oh, this is permanent.
Yeah.
And this is hard, and I'm seeing all these other people around me and they can do things easily that are really hard for me. And I think it's been an ongoing process of grieving, you know, as I encounter different things in my adult life where I go, oh, I can't do that, or I have to do that differently. And sometimes I still feel kind of bummed about it, but
lots of
times I don't. Like, I mean, there's many days where I don't think about it, you know, I'm very used to it. And I also couldn't really imagine being anything else. Like, it's now such a part of who I am.
Yeah. But I think by writing the book and by talking about it, you'll help others that are probably facing a similar situation.
Maybe. I hope so. I think, you know, with this book, all of the stories in the book, I couldn't have written them any sooner in my life. I had to be at a point where I could look back at them. And I think there is something useful in being able to, if you're in the middle of something really hard, if you're in that kind of dark terrain of loss and grief, to see someone who's made it a bit further down the path. I know for myself, like when I was in those, you know, the early days of the aftermath of losing my sons, the early days of becoming disabled, like seeing other people who have adjusted and gotten used to it is really useful.
Well, I hate to do this to you. I feel like I'm being cruel, but onto your children, because you didn't think that you were going to have children from the chemotherapy, I believe.
That's right. And it's not cruel. It's in the book.
Okay.
You haven't pried through my emails or anything. I because of the chemotherapy, I mean, a lot of chemotherapy drugs, you know, just about wipe out everything in your body. And so the doctors had told me that I might struggle with fertility. I mean, they told me that when I was 18 and I was like, I don't care. It's fine.
Like, I was not 18,
thinking, yeah, I was like not thinking about children. But then, you know, in my 20s and getting into relationships and starting to think about that, my first pregnancy was unplanned. Actually, my first three pregnancies were unplanned. And so that has not been an issue. It turns out I am fertile. I mean, there were these other losses that came into play. Getting pregnant was never the problem. But so I hadn't I hadn't thought I was going to have kids. And then they've become this huge part of my life through having three children, but also that because two of them died. And so even without my sons, you know, it felt like motherhood has been this huge part of my life, even after they were gone.
And was the reason you lost both your sons because of your illness, or was it nothing to do with that?
Nothing to do with it. It's such bad luck. My first son, he died effectively during labor. It was just a really complicated delivery. A few things went wrong that added up to him having to be resuscitated when he was born. And then, but he'd been without oxygen for too long. And so just a very sad kind of secretive nature. I mean, labor is this you're splitting in two. It's like an earthquake, you know? Yeah. And so things can go wrong. And so they did. And it was, you know, it was a shock and it was heartbreaking. And my son Ford, who was my second, was born with a very serious heart defect. Again, just kind of a bad roll of the dice. It's something like 1 in 5,000, you know, something like that. And so he lived for 14 months and we tried lots of interventions and but he didn't make it. I think there's, you know, I live in Canada. I live in, you know, major cities here in Canada. I had access to great healthcare. I, you know, I'm like cis white person, there was all kinds of privilege and ways that I had good care and good luck. And I think sometimes people, when they hear that I lost two children, it seems like there must have been something else. Could there be something else that caused it? And it just was these two events. I mean, it's unlikely. It's an unlikely thing, especially in like a Western, quote unquote, Western country.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned rolling of the dice, and as if the dice wasn't rolled even further. And understandably, I guess, when you go through something like that, you and your husband drifted apart, so you then split up, which was, it must have been another devastating loss.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting writing this book. I'd always thought of the divorce as hard. Like, of course it was hard, but it wasn't as hard as the loss of my children or getting through cancer, in that he's alive, he's okay, I'm okay. You know, it's like, yeah. So I thought, okay, this isn't a tragedy. But then when I was writing the book and reflecting on our marriage and rereading old emails and kind of revisiting our relationship, I actually realized I had been kind of carrying a grief that I hadn't been open to. I think because I'd been holding it in comparison, I was like, see, no one died, it's fine. And then when I was writing the book, I was like, oh, but we were so in love.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff happened to us that was out of our control. And it really,
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so I kind of, through the book, got in touch with that a little bit more.
Do you think the book was a bit cathartic for you, or was it really tough writing it?
I would say that catharsis kind of happened before I got to the book. Like, I think I'm a musician and I'm a singer-songwriter, and I've written a lot of songs about this stuff, and I'd already kind of talked about these stories a bit through music, and a lot of that processing had happened there and in therapy. And I think by the time I got to writing the book, I was ready to put the pieces together. It's like I'd fallen apart, and writing the book, you know, a book is this very literal making sense of things. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And through crafting it, I don't know if it was cathartic. I mean, maybe a bit healing. Like, it was, I guess it was empowering. I would say that it was empowering to look at these stories and look at these really heartbreaking events and decide how to tell the story.
Yes.
And that I get to do that, and that I get to tell that story. And so I think I'd kind of already gone through all the messy emotional work for the most part.
Yeah.
There was definitely times writing the book where certain stories I'd have to, you know, stop and look out the window and have a cry and be clear on what I wanted to say. Like, there's so much in the book, and it is vulnerable and it is genuine, and I wanted it to be vulnerable, but I also didn't want it to be overwhelming for myself or a reader. And so I made a lot of decisions along the way on what to include or how to talk about something. And so if it ever started to feel too much for me, I knew that was a moment to stop and think about, okay, what do I want this to be? You know, it's going to be published.
Yeah.
what's my comfort level here? And so I made a lot of choices about that, but it was really, yeah, really empowering, really meaningful to write my story.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm very brave. And I think you reading it back as a reader, you should be proud of yourself. And you should think, crikey, I've been through a lot. Look how strong I am.
Yeah, right. I know when I look at the list, I sometimes talk about my grief file. Like when I'm, people say, "What's the book about? How to lose everything?" And I say, "Well, you know, cancer, amputation, death, divorce, and then I got cancer again." Oh. And I realize, like in bullet point, it is a lot.
Yeah,
I think over the 40 years of my life that this has been unfolding, it's been happening, you know, day by day. But as a list and in the book, it is extraordinary. And I know that it's an extraordinary list of experiences.
Mm. You mentioned cancer again. Are you okay now?
Yeah, I had thyroid cancer a couple years ago, and it did put my music career on hold for a bit, but I've recovered. I'm okay. But at the time, this was like after my sons had died, after my marriage had ended, I'd moved across the country and I got thyroid cancer, and I was sort of like, are you kidding? Really?
Yeah, leave me alone now. Yeah, I'm sure you did.
It was okay. The story's in the book too, because it was a remarkable event as well. But it kind of shifted my path. I mean, now I see that it helped me slow down. I was touring a lot as a musician. And so when I had to stop singing, it actually helped me stay in one place and kind of think about what I want next in life.
And do you think your music helped you get through all this?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, as you know, right, on radio, like music, right? It's this incredible, powerful, beautiful thing that as a listener, you know, moves us. So as we make music, it moves us. I feel really lucky that I had music for so long. I think, I mean, if I'd been a gardener, I would have just been digging in the garden for 10 years, probably, you know, or if cooking was my thing, I would have like, you know, been chopping garlic for days. Yeah. Like it's like, you know, hopefully people know what their thing is. And I don't know that everyone does, but I feel very lucky that I found music, you know, in my younger years, and that it was this way that I could share these experiences without being as explicit as I am in the book, you know, and, you know, lyrics, 3-minute chorus, like you can kind of, sure, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Like there's a way in music that I got to express my grief and release some of this stuff while also protecting myself in a way. And it just gave me something to do. I think, especially in the early years after my sons died, music became kind of the passion that kept me going forward. You know, there was always like, oh, I have to do that thing in 3 months, or I've got that show next week. It kind of gave me some obligations as well as a creative expression.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that there are lyrics to several of your songs included in the book.
Yes. Yeah. So there's times that I still think I might have said it best in a song. So I include the lyrics throughout the book where they relate to the different times in my life. And then there is a link in the back of the book. There's a Spotify playlist that has, it's also on Bandcamp, has all the songs that show up in the book, because they're from, you know, 5 or 6 albums over the years, so people can listen along.
Yeah. Well, we're going to play one shortly. I just want to read you out a couple of messages from our regular listeners. Annie said kudos 100 times to that lady, and then lots of clapping hands. And James says, what a brave and inspirational woman she is. So just to let you know, our regular listeners think you're great, as do I.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, we are selling the book on our website. It's called How to Lose Everything, a memoir by Christia Couture. You, because of your music and everything else, do you have a website as well, Krista?
Yes, ChristiaCouture.com, and I'm on Instagram, you know, all the places.
Wonderful. Well, you really are an inspiration. Thank you for being on the show. We're going to play out with your song, Sing For Me, which you're going to sing for us now. Have a good day. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Just need to talk, but my mouth is a cocktail of lemon and chalk in burns. I don't need a destination, I just need to walk. I need to gather my thoughts and take stock of my words. Give me music. I could use it. By what others guide, when will I learn? I don't need this, well, that's for sure. How much can one person endure? God, it hurts. So give me music.
Voice and a lovely lady, Krista Couture. Her website is kristacouture.com.